Hello, beloved listeners. This is Adrienne, and I am coming to you with a special little episode that is about the unfolding genocide in Gaza. And it's a conversation with two different people who I trust a lot, who I turned to for some guidance. So the first conversation is with Laura Kiswani, who is with the Arab Resource and Organizing Center out of Bay Area and is a Palestinian organizer, and is just all about what are the practical tips for standing in solidarity with Palestine right now. And then the next conversation is with my friend Morgan Basakis, who is part of Jewish Voice for Peace NYC, and is a conversation about Jewish dignity and action in this moment. And the idea behind all of it is, even if you have a different perspective, a different point of view, a different understanding of what is happening over there, I think we can all agree that a ceasefire and stopping a genocide is a move that we can make that will help everything else become more possible. That's the way that we can move ourselves towards peace. We need to stop the genocide. So these are two conversations that cover a really broad range of things. There are some actions mentioned in the conversations. If you're listening to this after the actions have happened, that's okay. I think you can still get a lot from the context and the conversation and the priorities and the resources that are named here. So they're including resources for where to build analysis or have some more understanding of analysis, where to get news, where to join and, send resources, and where to take action. So I hope these conversations are as useful to you as they were and are to me. And again, both of them live on my Instagram page at Adrienne Marie Brown, and they live on the Instagram pages, of AROC and Jewish Voice for Peace. Enjoy, learn, let your heart get a little softer and a little wider. We're in this solidarity work for life. Okay, love y'all. Welcome to this live. Going to be having a conversation with Laura from the Arab Resource and Organizing Center to learn what we can do right now around this crisis that is unfolding for our folks. So I love you all. It's really good to see you. This is a really big moment. All right. I see all my beloveds coming in. And I learned last time that it tells you to ask to join me. So I know that you're not just thinking that you're someone you're not. But this space for coming into, asking you to be as grounded and as centered as you can. There's a lot of grief. There's a lot of grief right now. And this call is not going to be able to liberate us from all that grief, but hopefully it'll give us some practical action steps that we can take. That's the goal today. So I love y'all. I love you too. I'm just looking to see, Instagram Live moves in its own mysterious ways. So we're watching for our friends to show up. And I'm also inviting them. It's Friday the 13th and the beginning of eclipse season. And we're going to learn some stuff today. I'll just say that part of the reason I was interested in inviting AROC is that they are people who have really helped me to understand why freeing a free Palestine is the path towards peace, is a path towards ending the violence, is a path towards the humanity of all people in the region. And it's been a really helpful education. And so it's something that I wanted to share and offer, because I think so much of what's been happening this past week has been this energy of no one being able to actually hear each other, and so many broken hearts, and so many folks trying to figure out how to love and how to be in solidarity and like how to do this. So the idea of this space is to just open up room. If we want to end this situation, then what does that look like? What does it actually look like? Okay, I'm looking now for A-Rock to come on. And everyone join me in sending a little energy to Lara, because this is like her first time doing a live, I think. And I want to make sure that she feels good coming into the room. You made it. Yay. You're doing great so far. Thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're doing a bunch of organizing work, and so I'm really grateful for you taking the time to come and talk with us, and I'm going to try to use your time as well as I can. First, I wanted to just ask everyone on the call to center with me, to center with us. Briefly, let's just take a moment and drop below our head and just notice that we are bodies. Notice how our bodies are doing right now. Notice your length and your dignity that is already there in your body, and that you absolutely deserve your dignity, and that it is connected to the dignity of all people. Notice your width. Let yourself be wider. Let your heart be wider. And notice your depth, that you have a long history that is tied into it. Long history of our species, and that the future is unknown and will be shaped by us, that we still have that capacity. And then again, notice yourself being here right now in the present moment. Notice what all you're feeling. I'm very aware of a lot of fear and a lot of grief. Waves and waves of it moving through us. And the idea of this call is to intervene on more grief, to give us room, give us some room. Yeah. So, hi, my love.
Hi.
I have questions for you, and just to set this room set the stage for this. This call is, there's so much yelling at each other. There's so much misinformation, and there's so much fear. There's so much signaling going on. Like, this word means this, this word means this. There's so much that folks are like looking for from each other to say, do you care about my existence? How could you do this? There's so much going on. And I feel like I am drowning in it. There's so many people drowning in it. There's just so much. And A-Rock always seems to me like a place where I can get really great, clear information, not just about Palestine, but about all of the things that are happening in the region. And it's the Arab Resource and Organizing Center. And all of the resources that I share in this conversation and that Lara shares in this conversation, I'm going to also put in the chat, and I'm going to make a highlight so that we can get the links from it. And if anyone wants to help me by like taking notes as we do that, feel free to help me, because whatever. I just trust that this is going to all work out. So what I thought we could do is, this conversation is for abolitionists, is for people who are already in solidarity with Palestine and understand why Free Palestine is the way to go in this moment. So if people are like still trying to understand that, if people are like, I don't know how you could say that, or I don't know where you could land that, or I'm confused. I'm standing in this position, and I'm one of millions and millions of people who stand in this place of Free Palestine. Many people on the US left, many of the global community. There's a reason why people are orienting this way. If people are struggling to understand this, or still like, well, that means this, or that means anti-Semitism or something else, where would you say go here to get your 101 education on this issue?
Well, I would say don't go to Western media. Unfortunately, they are spewing dangerous, racist, Islamophobic, white supremacist tropes that are really regurgitating unfiltered Israeli propaganda. So I appreciate the question. If you want on the ground updates, what's happening, where a lot of us are getting it in Arabic and in English, is Al Jazeera. So Al Jazeera is providing us on the ground updates, minute by minute, interviewing Palestinians and sharing the stories of those most impacted. If you want to hear about folks, articles and analysis coming from the United States that are actually useful and providing you a framework to understand this moment, Institute for Middle East Understanding, IMEU, is a great resource. And if you want to hear from anti-Zionist Jewish allies, which there are many, many more than you even know, I would go to Jewish Voice for Peace. All of those three resources are helping us navigate this really difficult time.
Okay, beautiful. And that was actually both of my first questions, because my other one was like, where do we get the right news from? Like, who should be tuning into? And I want to just slow things down just a moment there to say, if you travel outside of the US, if you are born outside of the US, if you start from outside the US, it's actually really easy to access a lot of different perspectives on this. The US, like, we always have to be cautious of the news that we're getting. Because it's like, just because it's in a newspaper doesn't make it facts, y'all. So we have to really be careful. So I heard you say Al Jazeera. I heard you say Jewish Voices for Peace, IMEU. These are the resources that we're saying you can get good current
Analysis.
information and analysis and framing. Okay. So then my next question is, it's US-centric just because that's where we are, and because I'm coming into this conversation as a taxpayer, which means that I feel directly responsible for how resources are getting used, what the US is doing with our resources right now. And so, what are Palestinians asking for from us, for solidarity in this moment? What can we do?
I mean, it's actually pretty simple. We're demanding that there's an immediate ceasefire, and we're asking everyone to join us in putting an end to this war. So, demanding from our elected officials to call for an immediate ceasefire, end to the bombardment, a call for the end of the occupation, end forced displacement, right? And an end to this war. Really, it's quite simple. We are sending $4 billion of U.S. aid to Israel. We are essentially sending $4 billion to carry out massacres, a brutal war, an occupation. What we're asking folks to do right now, defund war. We know what that means. Defund apartheid, defund Israel. From an abolitionist perspective, we know what that means. That defunding is also a call to build something different. So we want to join forces in that. We want to build a real multiracial democratic society, not only in my region, not only in Palestine, but also here, right? These things are inseparable, so we're calling on everyone, whether you identify as an anti-imperialist or not, to know that's what it means to be anti-imperialist. But we're calling you to join us, to call on those in power who could end this right now if they chose to. This war could end right now if those in power made different choices. So we're calling, we know they won't make those choices without pressure. We know how the world works, we know how history works. It helps us understand today. So those are our immediate demands, and we're asking folks to join us in that. You can use the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights toolkit. There's a toolkit they have. You put your name, your zip code, and it goes right to your elected. So we have all kinds of resources for you all to be able to use at your disposal, so you can join us in this moment and stand on the right side of history.
Awesome.
We're also asking for you to challenge disinformation, right?
Great.
So in the height of any struggle in history, for those of us who've studied history, for those of us who learn from our ancestors and the folks we stand on the shoulders of, we know that every issue in the height of its struggle was seen as too complicated, right?
Yes.
Apartheid South Africa was seen as too complicated.
Yes.
The Jim Crow South was seen as too complicated. The Algerian revolution was seen as too complicated. And now these are common sense social justice issues: anti-colonialism, anti-racism, anti-apartheid, anti-segregation. I'm just hoping that we don't have to wait until apartheid Israel is successful in the genocidal campaign against my people for us to stand on the right side of history and to make those demands. So I'm hoping that folks understand that it may seem too complicated for you today, but if you're standing on that side of the story, then you're standing on the wrong side of history. So challenge disinformation wherever that may be. We're also asking folks to show up in the streets. There's mass mobilizations being called across the world and in the United States this weekend. Take part, show up, but don't just take part, show up. Bring your families, bring your neighbors, bring your friends, and let the world know you were there. We need people to know that we have that mass support, but we also need the world to see, and our people in Palestine, they're watching y'all. They're watching us here in the belly of the beast. And we know that we're going to be targeted. We are being targeted. So I'm also making a call on behalf of our movement that you all defend us when we are attacked.
Yeah.
We've gone through this before. We know what dehumanization results in. We know the surveillance results in. We're asking you to defend us when we are attacked, because we are being attacked. And we don't want our youth, our families, our elders, our vulnerable, our migrants, our refugees, who most of us are, make up that population here as a Palestinian in diaspora. We know that they're at the receiving end of this, and we're asking for our comrades and our allies across the United States to defend us and engage wherever that may be, not only in the disinformation campaign, but defending us against political repression and attacks. Lastly, I would say political education, right? Like in your workplaces, in your unions, in your schools, wherever you may be, do the deep political education needed now so you can move people literally tomorrow, right? Do what's needed. And there's a lot of resources at your disposal. And lastly, do not allow the Islamophobic narrative, the racist white supremacist narrative, that criticism of Zionism or criticism of apartheid Israel is the same thing as anti-Semitism,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're seeing laws being passed to actually make that so, that you are criminalized if you challenge Israel. France just outlawed any Palestine protests. And we saw the people move in mass to demonstrate in solidarity with Palestine despite that. Uh-huh. We don't want to have to get to that point in this country, so we need all of you to challenge every attempt to criminalize Palestine solidarity. That needs to be met with a full stop and mass opposition today.
Beautiful. Thank you. It's really, really helpful. It's really clear, and it's really focusing, like what you're offering to us now. And I want to remind people, because I think sometimes we're like, when something's outside of ourselves, we're like, how could they do that? Here in the U.S., we critique our country all the time. We're critiquing it every single day. We march against it. We have the right to do that. We have the right to do that. We have the right to do that. Every person on earth has the right to protest against unjust conditions in the place where they are and in the places that they love. So just a reminder, nothing in history has ever changed when we didn't take action. So just a reminder. Okay, so a lot of folks are seeing the devastation that's happening right now. And I can tell that a lot of the energy is flowing into these online battles, as if the online battle is the place where we can help. And I think there's a need for material resources when we're talking about a struggle like this. So I wanted to ask you, where can people direct immediate and emergency resources, and where can people direct ongoing resources in addition to AWOC? Because I think everyone should be supporting AWOC and supporting the work you all do. But where are some other places that you would direct people's energy towards for, like, literally, we want to get medicine, we want to get food, we want to get resources to people who their homes and their love, everything has been destroyed.
Well, if I could take a moment and just add one more thing related to the comment you just made is, yeah, we have rights, but rights are only as good as they're defended and fought for. We may have the right to say we stand against Israel today. We may not have that right tomorrow.
Yeah.
So let's really make sure that we are doing all we can to defend one another and protect whatever rights there we have in this country.
Yeah.
That being said, and connected to those rights, you know, Gaza is under a siege. Nothing is allowed in, nothing is allowed out.
Yeah.
It's the largest open air prison in the world. It's one of the most densely populated places in the world. And as I say this, Israel is asking to evacuate within 24 hours, within 12 hours at this point. That 1.1 million of the 2.2 million people in Gaza evacuate from northern Gaza to southern Gaza. And they're doing that knowing that there's nowhere for them to go and that this is one of the most densely populated places on earth. And by them even trying to do that creates a humanitarian disaster. Yeah. They're doing that knowing that, and calling it actually the Nakba, the word we use to describe the colonization of our people in 1948. When Palestine was colonized and the state of Israel was created, yeah. 750,000 of my people were displaced, where, you know, my father is older than the state of Israel's own existence today.
Yeah.
And they are calling this the new Nakba, uh-huh. right? So as I want to offer you all resources, but I also want to say that at the moment, nothing is getting in or out.
Yeah.
But there will be a day and very soon that everyone needs to make sure that our folks have the resources they need. And I would offer Middle East Children's Alliance okay. as a resource to get direct aid and support. We know them. They're good comrades and partners in our movement. They have offices in Gaza. They can support making sure that the needs of our people in Gaza are met in the coming days. So I would offer that. Okay. In terms of organizing and advocacy, we are, you know, we have a broad movement here in the Bay Area, but we also have a broad movement in the United States. Everybody needs to be throwing down and supporting Palestinian-led organizing in the U.S., right? So donate to whatever local organization is doing the real work on the ground, the base building, and fighting for power and making sure our voices are heard. And on a national level, there's so many. I'm just going to name a few to give an example of where you all should be looking, both for action alerts and direction, but also to support what I would say U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights is holding it down right now in terms of creating a container for us, as well as Adala Justice Project. So those two would be great places for you all to look to for some guidance, but also support and throw down some resources.
Okay, amazing. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you want to make sure people know about being in solidarity with Palestine right now?
You know, it's really, we all have a choice right now.
Yeah.
And we are either going to allow war to continue.
Yeah.
And we are either going to allow a genocide to happen.
Yes.
Or not. This is what we are witnessing right now in Palestine is genocide, pure and simple.
Yeah.
And the Western powers are united in their support of Israel, in their support of apartheid, and in their support of war. And I know that the rest of the world isn't united around that. I know that the folks listening in right now have a different perspective and have a different commitment for a different world.
Yeah.
And I also know that many of us here in the United States and many non-Arab and Palestinian working people and around the world, including in the West, are united for something different. And I would call that freedom and human rights and liberation and dignity of people. So I'm hoping that you all really hear this call to action, not only to just give money where it's needed, but to take action where it's necessary. Change doesn't come without us understanding the role we play in history and the role we play in the future we are building. We understand history. That helps us understand today. And understanding today helps us build a different future. And it's actually quite simple. But we need each other in this moment. So I'm just calling on everybody to continue to support all the work happening across the United States, all the work happening in our homelands on the ground. And while our people in Gaza, you know, they're saying we're going to die with our heads up, we don't want to die with our heads down. Let it be known that they're dying with the support of the U.S. government. And let it be known that that won't change without us taking action in the belly of the beast. They're dying at the hands of U.S. weapons. They're dying because those in power are choosing not to end this war. And the fight against Israeli apartheid is really the fight for us all. This violence that we are seeing right now could end immediately if those in power took even the most small step to stand on the right side of history. And they won't do it without you all putting pressure on them. So I trust that that will happen. I trust we're going to be moving in the right direction. We're going to be listening to those calls to action, and we are going to stand on the right side of history. And I trust that we're going to do that because we know history has taught us that solidarity is necessary for all our freedom. We can't do this alone, nor do we feel alone. So, Adrian, thank you for this space, and thank you for everyone who's here joining us, yeah. for everyone who's sharing out that information, showing up in the streets, for making calls, texting, and checking in on our people. this is what the world that we are fighting for should look like.
Yeah.
Is that solidarity, care, and love? And I truly believe that we're going to get it. I just hope we get it in our lifetime. And take a breath, y'all, because tonight may be a really difficult time in Palestine.
Yeah.
But tomorrow could be different if we take some action and do something different. So thank you for the space, Adrian.
Thank you so much, Lara. And, you know, I think the thing I just want to add to this is so many people are trying to figure this out right now. And something I'm offering to folks is, regardless of how long it takes you to figure this out, I think right now you know you don't want genocide. I think right now you know that. I think that's maybe why you're here. You don't want it for anyone. So just hold that, because that's the thing we're actually talking about right here, is no genocide, ending the genocide, ending war, ending the occupation. It's all one act, yeah? And then we can imagine together, but you can't imagine while people are getting genocide. It's like we have to make that room. I'm so grateful to you. I'm so grateful to everyone who tuned in. Please share this message out to other folks. If not this message, I would love for folks to actually get to hear from Lara directly as much as they can. So please share that. But if not this message, then write down the resources and share them with everyone you talk to. We're trying to end the genocide, and here's one thing you can do. So think of yourself now as part of the dandelion that is being blown to help spread all of these resources as far as they can go, and show up tomorrow to the actions in your community. Okay. We love y'all. All right, so that was Lara Kiswani, again, from the Arab Resource and Organizing Center in the Bay Area. And now you're going to hear from Morgan Basakis with Jewish Voice for Peace. I want to say, first of all, thank you for how you've been showing up and organizing and leading in this moment. You are ringing as clear as a bell right now, and I want to shine more light on what your invitation is, because it feels like you're inviting Jewish people to join you in a very specific stance and specific actions as part of your work for Jewish Voice for Peace. And I was just explaining to folks who are like tuning in that it can be very frustrating to be like, we need to slow down and make sure people actually understand what's going on. I also feel like confusion is often a part of a colonial strategy, right? So misinformation and intentional indoctrination and all of that serves capital, it serves colony, it serves imperialism, it serves all these things that, like, as individuals, mostly we don't want to serve. So I'm like, I see what you're doing as a way of intervening on all of that structure that is holding folks apart, maybe from their ability to hold a full humanity or full empathy. And so I'm like, maybe there's something that we can do. Again, I don't think we're gonna solve this for everyone, but I do think there's things that we can do to shine a light. I'm particularly thinking about the places where stuff is all getting collapsed, right? So I hear people who are like, we've gotta stop this genocide, and folks are like, that's, you know, there's anti-Semitism. I'm like, something just got collapsed between point A and point B. And that collapse is really painful for the people who are like, we've been trying to make clear the A to B for you for so long. And so I experience that as a Black person in the US when people are like, but all lives matter. I'm like, yes. And since all lives matter, da, 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 you know, doing this whole thing. So I was like, you are someone who I think has been working on this for a long time. And I see you really in touch with your heart inside of this work, and recognizing the scale of crisis that we're actually facing. Because I think that not everyone is fully clued in yet to like what's coming down this pathway and how it actually impacts everyone. So I was trained to always look for the opening and to always look for the opportunity. And so whenever something horrifically painful happens in my life, I'm like, what does this open me towards? What does this make possible now? What changes now? If these walls fall down, then where do I flow, right? And I'm interested in this for you. When I hear people saying, I'm confused, I think this could be a step of your decolonization. And in a way, if,
if I can help, then I want to help with that decolonization of all people. So the first thing I want to ask you is, do you have any go-to words of guidance, words of clarity, or favorite resources that you're pointing people to, particularly Jewish folks, that you're pointing folks to who feel confused and are beginning their decolonization in this moment?
Yes. thank you so much, Adrian. I love you so much. And you are such a beacon of transformative justice in this world and of like justice. And the call for justice is always the call for justice. And I just really just deeply appreciate you being the beacon that you are and ringing the bell that you are. And the words that are always coming to me that we're circulating a lot is those of Grace Paley, the leftist Jewish writer, intellectual, who said that the only recognizable feature of hope is action, that we don't wait to get hopeful. You know, our one of our beloved anti-Zionist liberationist rabbis, Rabbi Miriam Grossman, said in her services this past Saturday, we don't wait to feel hopeful. We don't wait to feel hopeful. And by the same token, we don't wait to feel clear, and we don't wait to feel resolved. We act for justice as a path to find resolution. We act for justice as a path to find hope. We act for justice as a way to move through our feelings, to reach towards each other. We cannot wait. Our ancestors would not have wanted people to wait. We don't have the luxury of waiting. The luxury of the idea that we would wait until all of our feelings are neat and in one kind of orderly thing before we act is a fantasy.
Yeah. And never happened in history. You know, I keep thinking this to people. You know, I'm like, you know, I said this the other night when I was talking to Lara from AROC, that I'm like, all you have to know right now is you are against genocide. And if you are against genocide and we can stand together against genocide, we can go very far. And that is genocide of anyone, right? Right. If you're against that for anyone, then this is the strategy actually, right?
That's
this
exactly is the right.
Okay.
That's exactly
Sorry,
right. No, that's exactly right. And that's our clarity. That's our clarity, is that we oppose genocide and we oppose ethnic cleansing and we oppose collective punishment. This is not complicated. And I think for me, what's so important is to say, it's okay whatever feelings people are bringing. It's really okay.
Yes.
We actually don't need to feel or think the same thing. We really don't. We can't. That's a fantasy. And it's okay because we all have different proximities and relationships to what's unfolding, the nightmare that is unfolding in Palestine, Israel. We all have very different relationships. And I would never think that one person's relationship should be someone else's.
Right.
So there's no use in saying you're grieving the wrong way or you're doing the wrong thing. We absolutely are entitled to all of our feelings exactly as we are. And the power is in our hands as American Jews to say not in our name.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, that is the only call. At this point, that is the call.
Yeah.
Ceasefire. Stop bombing the 2.2 million people who are captive in Gaza. The 2.2 million people, half of whom are children. Like there is no confusion there. There is no confusion. And I'm really struck more and more with this question in generations to come when they ask us, where were you and what did you do when you had some power, not all the power, but you had some power to stop this, what did you do? And I want to be able to be accountable with my answer and not say, I don't know, it was confusing. We jumped in before we were hopeful, before we weren't scared, and we said, ceasefire now. We said for everyone, ceasefire now. It doesn't need to be more complicated than that.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you, and thank you. I mean, the question I think I'm going to go to next is the somatic one, because I feel so clearly in you, your grief and your rage are pouring through the body and turning into action. Right? I can feel the move that you're making here. And I think for a lot of people, this confusion, it's like, I'm so full of grief, right? Or I'm so full of rage and I can't seem to move it to action. Can you talk a little bit about what you're literally doing in your body, right? How are you processing grief? How are you processing the rage? Like, are there practices you're doing? Are there communities that you're holding? Like, because the grief feel, you know, I think one of the things I've been sitting with this whole week is I'm like, there is no one's grief that is outside of my empathy. There's no one for me. And I've tried to keep my heart as expanded as possible through many moments in my life. You know, I have, as you know, white Southern family here who want me to not exist. Yeah. And yeah, so I'm constantly in this work of like, can I not think, or can I not shrink my heart to the scale of my oppressor? Can I keep my heart as wide as I can? And can I stay in touch with humanity in this way? So this week, the grief is so huge. And I want to ask you how you've been doing that, because I've been witnessing it. And I, you know, I've watched you, I've wept with you.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about, yeah, what you've been practicing?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm, you know, I can feel the overwhelming terror and grief in me right now that says, like, this nightmare, and truly it is nightmare upon nightmare, and it feels like we can't wake up, you know, is so rapidly accelerating, and also so profoundly didn't just start this week. You know, we know that the nightmare that Palestinians have been facing has been over 75 years. And then this past week of its acceleration is just profoundly terrifying. And I think it's okay to be terrified. And for me, the only way that I've gotten through this week is by taking action with others. There is no other practice. Like, there is getting with people who say, what can we do now to prevent more suffering?
Yeah.
What can we do now to prevent more suffering? That is the practice. Yeah. And then we have to eat food and drink water and try to go to sleep and try to say, okay, you know, I need to take a rest for a moment, all those practices. But to me, the practice has been linking my arms with other Jewish people, saying no, saying not in our name, saying no, saying like, absolutely not. That's the practice.
Yes.
That there is no other practice. Like, that, you know, the practice is calling our representatives, even though that may seem futile, and say, not in my name, as a Jewish New Yorker, not in my name.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, all of us have different ways of doing this in different relationships. But to me, we've been talking about action is the only antidote to despair. Action. And that's, you know, action.
Yeah.
And I think for me, like, I just think, what would I want people to do for my family? You know, like, what would I want?
Yeah.
You know, what would I want?
Yeah.
And so many of us are descendants of refugees and survivors of genocide, and like, let action be the practice that organizes and transforms our grief and our rage and our terror. And we have moments of feeling, oh, is that hope?
Yeah.
Is that something like joy?
Yeah.
Is that something like connection? And that doesn't mean everything's going to be okay and everything is good, but it does mean we're reconnecting to what's good inside of us and to what's visionary inside of us. And I don't know about you, but I've been getting messages from around the world, from Arabs and Muslims and Palestinians from around the world, who say, we see you, our Jewish cousins and siblings. We love you. Thank you for standing up for justice. Wow. Thank you so much for standing up for justice. You're making us know that we're not alone.
Yes.
That's the practice.
That's the practice, Morgan. It's incredible. You know, I feel like this week I keep thinking about that your no makes the way for your yes. And that I'm like, I want to be in a world where we're able to vision together something beyond empire. You know, I'm a post-nationalist. So I'm like, I think that we have to think as a species as soon as we can in relationship to the planet that we're on right now. And this week I kept hearing this, your no makes the way for your yes. If we can say no, if we can say ceasefire, if we can stop the dying, the killing, the murdering that is happening right now, each life adds a weight onto that we will not, it's like we have to come out from that to begin to vision together. So we have to stop that, right? And so I'm like, we have to make a way for something else. So you are part of organizing something that is one of those major ways to say no. Can you talk about what's happening this week?
Yes. Well, just today, thousands of American Jews shut down the White House, shut down 11 entrances to the White House. So this has already begun, this national mobilization of American Jews to D.C. to say, not in our name, ceasefire now, stop bombing Gaza, stop bombing the 2.2 million people in Gaza.
Yeah.
And we are organizing a mass convergence in DC on Wednesday at noon outside the Capitol. On Wednesday, that's October 18th at noon outside the Capitol, we are gathering thousands and thousands of Jewish people to come together to demand that Congress say no, ceasefire now. We are putting our bodies on the line. We are saying no. We're saying the war machine does not speak for us. Do not beat the drum of war. Do not beat the drum of Islamophobia in our names. Do not beat the drum of anti-Palestinianism in our names. No. And so what we are asking people to do, quite simply, is to drop everything and come.
Yeah.
And we know that not everybody can, and that's totally fine.
Yeah.
And some of us can.
Yes.
And so we're asking those of us who can to drop everything and come, because this is a moment that is defining our whole lives. Like really, like the situation in Gaza has never been more dire. The request has never been more clear. The call has never been more urgent. And so we are asking all of us to drop what we're doing and come to DC. There are buses being organized from New York City and ride shares being organized. There's people coming in from Los Angeles. All around the country, people are coming. Thousands of us are going to be there, regardless of if we haven't participated in protests, regardless of how Jewish we feel. And so many of us don't feel Jewish enough, right? And we're told if we speak for Palestinian rights, that we're told that we're self-hating Jews. Can you imagine? Can you imagine saying, to me, one of the things I'm most proud of is the legacy of Jewish stand for justice. Don't you dare challenge the authenticity of our Judaism. We speak proudly and self-lovingly as Jews who say not in our name. And so regardless of who you are and what your background is and how you've participated in protests or not, if you've never been to protests or you've never been to a protest at the Capitol, we are asking people now to come.
Oof. I am so moved by your invitation. I'm so moved by this call. And I want to also add to it that if you have Jewish employees, give them the day off. If you run an institution, you can shut it down for the day. Like I do, like when it's just like drop everything and go, I think sometimes people are like, oh, like for real, for real. And it's like, for real, for real. Like this is, you know, I said the heart of the world breaks on the shores of Gaza, because it feels like this is the most important thing that is happening, especially for our country right now, where, you know, I think that folks underestimate or, you know, the process of paying taxes can be so disconnected from the process of what happens with those taxes. And I keep being like, make the connection. This is our war. This is an imperial war, right? This is an imperial war. So dropping everything and showing up. Are there solidarity actions, or is it like, get yourself to DC? Like,
mostly for this one, it's get yourself to DC.
But there
are actions being called around the country. I know there's actions in South Florida being called, and some in Los Angeles. I know there's actions many places, and you can follow Jewish Voice for Peace to see those various actions. But I think what you're saying is so important, because our government, this is our government. This is not some abstract over there. This is our government. Is American-made bombs. This is $3.8 billion every year from our government funding this nightmare in the name of Jewish safety, even though we know Israeli colonialism and apartheid and occupation does not make Jews safe. How much clearer could that be?
Yeah.
And you have talked about in so many instances how these systems of oppression hurt all of us.
They hurt everyone.
They dehumanize everyone.
Yes.
There's no scarcity of suffering.
No, I mean, it really is. I keep thinking about it as like the acts of oppression. You know, I'm always like in my head trying to write. Shami Ali wrote, she's my beloved, wrote this thing. It was like, we all wish to write the poem to end this death. Because I'm like, you just, as a writer, you start being like, how do I get the right words together to cast the right spell to like make it all stop? But that piece of it feels so important to me, which is in an effort to make yourself safe, you're making yourself more and more endangered. And that's the great white supremacist mistake of all human history, right? And I think that that's one of the things that is the most complicated inside of this, is for folks who are like, I see myself as an oppressed people. I can't wrap my mind around also being the oppressor. And that's the thing where I'm like, that doesn't mean you're not, right? If you're in the US and you're paying taxes and you're now part of the oppression that is happening in Gaza, right?
Absolutely.
That's who all of us are, part of it. And so trying to step into responsibility means drop everything and go where we need to go and be where we need to be and then uplift what we need to uplift. Can people all join if you're not Jewish? Can we just all roll with?
Yes, like, absolutely. Everybody's welcome to come. Everyone is welcome to be a member of Jewish Voice of Peace and to come. You do not have to be Jewish at all. And we are definitely making a special call for Jewish American Jews to come and show out and show up.
Beautiful.
And the other thing that's really important is that people can donate to cover the costs of people traveling and housing. And also all donations that go to JVP right now will go to cover the costs of people mobilizing from around the country.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Is there anything, I'm like looking at my questions. Oh, Lara pointed us towards Al Jazeera, IMEU, and JVP as places to go for analysis and places to go for news. Is there anything that you would add to that? Any other places that you're like, these folks have good data or good analysis for us?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm always with Amy Goodman in terms of going to Democracy Now, for because I think what we're seeing that's so painful is how much misinformation and disinformation has been propagated through the media to really dehumanize Palestinians.
Yes.
And people are putting in the chat, you know, other websites and The Guardian, the Intercept, and so let's keep getting them in the chat. But I think what we need to be really careful of is how we are advancing Islamophobic and misinforming and dehumanizing tropes of dominant media that is actually creates that, like Mohammed El-Kurd, who we should all be following, has said, creates the precondition for genocide. When you dehumanize a population, when you use terms like human animals that has been used, when, you know, this is how you create the precondition for genocide. And as Jews, we know this in our bones. Mm-hmm. We have this in our history. Mm-hmm. This is not the first time we've seen this. And so we need to be very clear when we are that we are not advancing racist, Islamophobic, anti-Palestinian misinformation, and instead elevating the voices of people in Gaza who are surviving collective punishment, and elevating the voices of people, of Palestinians who've been working on Palestinian liberation for a long time, and listening to people, you know, and I think it's really important, because I think some of the damage that has accelerated this nightmare has been media disinformation.
Yeah, and I think a really helpful question to ask yourself as you're reading something is everyone's humanity protected in this piece? If it's not, you're probably not in the right information zone, right? And that's why I keep being like, here's some places to go, because there's really incredible information. And information from on the ground, which I think is the most important thing right now, is like, you know, I just keep telling people, I'm like, this is not the time for the theoretical argument. I know that it gives us some kind of comfort, some moral comfort, to think like, I can come up with a new theoretical answer that no one's come up with yet. And I just keep coming back to like, there's a genocide. It's happening right now. People have been without food for over a week. It's happening right now. Like, these are babies. Like, think about your children. Think about when they're hungry. Think about your kids. Think about when they don't have water. Think about your kids when they need medicine. Think about your grandparents in the hospital. Think about your people. I really think that that move of just being like, put your people into that situation and then act accordingly.
That's right. That's right. I mean, literally entire family trees are being wiped out. Let that sink in. We're not talking about four people. We're talking about entire family trees of Palestinian precious lives are being wiped out. And Ruth Wilson Gilmore, and you and I both come from the movement for prison abolition, you know, says very clearly, where life is precious, life is precious.
Life is precious.
There is no non-precious life. All life is precious.
That's right.
All life is precious.
That's right.
And so when you have any power to prevent more suffering, use the power. Don't wait and try to figure out tiny differences of tactic and theory. We have to use any agency that's in our hands to stop suffering. And right now, I truly believe that is the practice. Like, that is the practice that we can come back to. DC is one very clear call. I really hope most people listening who maybe thought I can't go, or maybe I'm going to be there.
Let's just go.
This is it. And you know, if you can't go, that's total. There's many other ways to participate. And you know, but I just really appreciate you being so clear and being so, and I think what's also really important is, in what I'm hearing so much from Muslims and Arab people and Palestinians around the world, they know very clearly the difference between Judaism and Zionism.
Very.
They know that Judaism is a thousands of year old, diverse, global tradition and culture, and that Zionism is a very historically recent ideology.
Yes.
And And they know this is not about religion. This is not about, this is, that's not what this is. This is a colonial situation that we inhabit different positions in.
That's right. Well, and I think it's so important, you know, I'm just going to throw this in there because it's been in my heart so much, is I keep seeing people being like, you know, I had so much respect for you. I thought you were so great, but now you really, you just don't understand this. You're against Jewish people. And I'm like, if you've agreed with everything else that I've said up until this point, and everything else all these other Black feminists have said up until this point, and everything else all these other leaders have said up until this point, consider that we would not on a snap just be like, oh, but not Jewish people. I'm like, that's not at all what is happening here. If you've agreed with everything else, then consider in this moment that there might be something you can't see because of your own trauma, and it's okay to have trauma. It's okay to have blocks because of trauma, but it's not okay to implement that as strategy, and it's not okay to project that onto anyone else. It's okay to be like, maybe there's something in me that still needs to heal, and it is absolutely something that still needs to heal. That's why we're here. But the healing can happen in this moment. The healing can happen with these actions.
That's
like, right. This is the way to actually shift that cycle. This is the way to say, oh, no one is expendable. That includes me, and that includes everyone else. That's the move. So I just had to get that off my heart.
I'm so glad these DMs
have been lit, and I'm like, y'all, don't, I mean, like, you know, DMs are DMs, whatever it is, but I'm like, the energy of it, I'm like, that energy, you know, I think of dolphins where it's like you see one and there's 400 in the water, and I'm just like, the energy of that fear and unprocessed trauma is so intense and so heavy, and I'm like, let that energy flow towards loving humanity.
That's
right?
It.
Tie you back in. You're not going to be safe behind any kind of wall. That's just not how humans work. So we have to tie ourselves in.
That's exactly right. And I don't know that we can tie ourselves in abstract. Like, I think the way to tie ourselves in is to get our bodies there and to make the calls. We've been having these every single day, and we're going to still have them. Action calls at 3 p.m. Eastern, just 3 to 3:30 Eastern, where we have these action hours. And that is a very powerful way to knit yourself back in. If you're feeling isolated, and if you're feeling scared, and if you're feeling like, I don't know, like, do people care about my life too? Come and be with 1,000 Jews who are saying, our safety, our freedom, our liberation is in solidarity. We, out of our deep love for each other and ourselves and all of our siblings and kin around the world, we take action for justice. And I think that that's a great, you know, if you can come to those daily action calls at 3 p.m., that's a great way for your body to feel, oh, I'm in this together. We're not alone. I'm not expendable. And sure as hell, Palestinians aren't expendable. And sure as hell, we are not going to attack our Palestinian leaders, our Black and Indigenous leaders, our powerful feminist leaders who are bravely speaking out. And it shouldn't have to be so brave to speak out to say that Palestinian lives are precious and that Gaza deserves to live. Why is that controversial? And we need to really, especially those of us who are white, need to really, really watch that impulse to weaponize the accusation of anti-Semitism, to weaponize that against our Muslim and Palestinian and Black and Indigenous and women of color leaders, because that also is part of how the system is working, is to confuse us about where the problem is.
I'm like, don't be confused, babes. You're still standing right here next to me. I'm still holding your hand. We've just got to go fight right now. That's what we got to go do.
That's right.
We just got to go fight, but we're right here. So where can people find out the information for the calls?
Yes. So Jewish Voice for Peace Instagram, which is at Jewish Voice for Peace. And you can sign up at jvp.com/GazaPH. And then you can also sign up to go to DC at jvp.org/stop. It's all there really clear on both JVP New York City and JVP National.
Is there anything that you wanted to share about that I haven't asked you about?
I just want to bless all of you who are taking action. I just want to say thank you so much for wherever kind of grief and fear and terror and rage you are holding, that you have been compelled towards action. Like, bless you, bless you, bless you. Our rabbi gave us a blessing where she says, may you be the burning bush that doesn't get consumed. May you keep burning in that light for justice, but not be consumed. May you keep fighting for justice. That is how we heal. That's how we heal. If you want to talk about trauma, if you want to talk about, that's how we heal, is through action, wit, and solidarity. So Adrian, I freaking love you so much. Thank you for being a beacon.
I love you so, so much. And we're going to be doing the solidarity work our whole lives.
I'm ready.
Shake these bones, shake these bones, oh God. Shake these bones, shake these bones, oh God. Shake these bones.
Okay, thank you all so much for listening to these conversations with Lara and with Morgan. I hope they were helpful. Again, tune into the organizations and follow Voices on the Ground, follow voices of Palestinian and Jewish organizers who are pointing us towards peace. Okay? Love you all so much.
Shake.